And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm good, DJ. Like, I mean, we're a week away from training camp starting. So look, it's on. We're back to football. It's going to be full football all the time for the next 6-7 months. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we got a fun episode today because you've had a chance to catch up with a lot of interesting folks, including some of the top quarterbacks in the upcoming draft class. We assume these guys will end up in the upcoming draft class. You got a chance to visit with at the Elite 11, and that includes Sam Howell from North Carolina, your alma mater, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, Spencer Rattler, a lot of conversation about him there at Oklahoma, and maybe the most intriguing name, and that's Malik Willis out at Liberty. The Auburn transfer had a monster year for the Flames last year. They had a phenomenal top 25 season. So you had a chance to visit with those guys at the Elite 11. We have a chance to discuss those guys and then roll some interviews that you had a chance to get with them, as well as a coach that, man, I've been dying to talk to this guy, Buck, and you had a chance to do it. And one of the top coaches in college football, and I think we both believe the NFL is in his future, and that's Cincinnati's Luke Fickell.
Yeah, DJ, look, it's a great opportunity to talk to all the players, but, you know, like, talking to coaches has been our thing. And so to have an opportunity to talk to Luke Fickell, who is definitely one of the hottest coaching candidates, not only on the college football level, but he will be definitely a hot commodity at the NFL level. It's terrific. He has great insight, really understands how to build a program.
And no doubt. All right, let's get in here and jump in. How do you want to do this, Buck? Let's go. You want to go interview conversation or conversation then interview? You got editorial control here. What do you think?
Ooh, this is a tough one. Let's go conversation then interview.
Okay. All right. Let's kick it off here. I teased about Malik Willis being one of the more interesting prospects potentially in the upcoming draft. He's not a big guy, 6'1", 215 pounds out at Liberty, but a phenomenal athlete, Buck, really, really strong. You got a chance to visit with him, so we're going to roll that in just a minute. But I just did my first look scouting report on him, and some guys, there's comps that just come right to you, and sometimes you need to kind of put guys together. So when I watched him, comparison-wise, as a runner, he's very physical. He's very sudden. I saw some Taysom Hill-type traits to him there. He's real strong and powerful like Taysom. I saw there's a couple cross-body throws where you see like some Josh Allen-type throws. But, you know, Josh Allen's so much bigger, so much taller, the different type of guy. And so then I kind of said, well, what's kind of in the middle there? And I thought, you know, Jalen Hurts, he's got kind of the same build as Jalen Hurts. They both can have taken over games with their legs. They both can make the throws you want to make, but just need to be more consistent. Now, I say that Malik's a souped-up version. He's got more suddenness as a thrower. He's got more suddenness in his movement. But that was the closest comparison I could come up with.
I really like that comparison. Here's what I'll say, DJ. Having had a chance to watch him up close and personal at Elite 11, whatever you think his lower body looks like, add 10 to 15 pounds to it. Because like, I've never seen anybody with an impressive lower body like that. Like his legs, his trunk. I mean, he is built differently. Like it's almost Saquon Barkley-esque in terms of how his lower body looks compared to his upper body. Because his upper body is small and not quite as filled out as his legs. And when you watch him spin it, here's what I say. He has raw arm talent. It's not refined when it comes to him putting it together as a passer. And so I love the Jalen Hurts comparison, but I'll go all the way back and add the Dak Prescott comparison when Dak Prescott was coming out of Mississippi State. Whatever you thought about Dak Prescott when he was coming out of Mississippi State, little streaky, you didn't know if it would work. I think you and I would both say he's played at a much higher level than maybe most of us thought he would play at for the Dallas Cowboys based on what he did at Mississippi State. When you look at Malik, his body physically reminds me of that Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, physical runner, leader, all the other stuff. And what you hope is the passing skills grow while he's playing a certain way at the position.
You know, sometimes it's just the number that these guys are wearing that leads to a comparison, but I saw like, and this is a name, people will take this as like an insult. It's not an insult, but just remember how good of an athlete Tavares Jackson was? That's kind of, he kind of moved around like him a little bit. He's a thicker, stronger kid.
Right. Here's the thing where people should understand about Tavares Jackson, the late Tavares Jackson. I think Tavares Jackson was a second round pick out of Alabama State coming out. Hey man, second round pick, that That is money. He started in this league for a long time. He played 10 plus years in the league. He was definitely not a flop or a failure as a player. And so when you take that, I think it is an apt comparison, because what you're doing is you're projecting a player who's coming from, look, I won't dismiss Liberty, but he's coming from a group of five situation. He's not quite as developed as maybe some of the other guys, his classmates would be. But man, the potential is there where you're willing to give him a big grade just on height, weight, speed, potential. Because that potential is immense. And now that the way that we're going in the league, we're seeing there's a lane for those guys to be able to play. Look, I'm not mad at that comparison. I'm not mad at the two comparisons, Tavares Jackson, Jalen Hurts, because I think there's some validity to making those comparisons based on where Malik Willis is now as a raw athlete versus where he could be down the line as a player in time.
Yeah, if you watch the NC State game, you won't like him. Turned the ball over a bunch in that game, was a little bit reckless. And then you watch every other game that I watched, you see a lot to love about him. And almost you could see why he ended up at Auburn initially, because he is kind of like a mini Cam. You know, he's like a, like you left Cam Newton in the dryer.
Yes. Yeah, like, look, there's something to that. What is it, the Coastal Carolina game where he really showed up?
Yeah, he took that over.
Took that over. And there is something to that. And as the league is changing, because I think what everyone has to understand, our league reacts to what happens in the draft the previous year. Trey Lance going number three overall will impact the way scouts grade Malik Willis. Because whatever Trey Lance's things, and I'm not saying they're the same as players, but whatever deficiencies or things that you may have had in Trey Lance's game, you are now more willing to be like, oh, okay, I see that, but he still went in the top five. With Malik Willis, you can be like, yeah, I see he doesn't have X, Y, and Z, but if Trey Lance can go here, there has to be a lane for Malik Willis to go maybe higher than we expect. Maybe we need to give him the benefit of the doubt with the grade, because the talent is certainly there.
No doubt. And let's get to your conversation. You had a chance to catch up with Malik out there at the Elite 11. So here's Bucky with Malik Willis.
So let's talk about your journey. I mean, like, here you are. I mean, some would say, like, coming out of nowhere, there's this hotshot quarterback prospect from Liberty. You started your journey in Auburn. How did you make the route to Liberty?
Well, I feel like it was more than a few things. I can't just blame it on one thing. I can't blame it on another. But whatever happened, God had a plan for me to go get my head on right and go to Liberty and get on the field, you know. I didn't make my way on the field as much as I would like to at Auburn. I can blame it on myself more than anybody else. I can't say, oh, coach didn't like me, oh, this and that. Nah, y'all weren't handling my business the right way. And that's what I had to figure out. You got to handle your business the right way, on and off the field, talent, no talent, doesn't matter. You just got to do it the right way.
And so, like, let's talk about it, continuing on. Hugh Freeze, that offense, what you guys have been able to do. Why did it work? Why did it click when you got to Liberty?
I had to sit out immediately when I got to Liberty. Was hurt a lot, mentally, physically. But it only built me. It made me stronger. I mean, I got a whole year of working out and practicing without, I can't say a goal in mind, but I couldn't touch the field, really. But it just made me so much mentally tougher. It made me so much stronger, faster. But it just helped me put in perspective how much I love the game and what I would do to remain in the game. So whenever I got my opportunity to step on that field, I was going to, you know, go out there and play for one reason only. One reason only. I'm going to play for the audience of one, play for him, because he'd give me another shot. But, yeah, it definitely was a lot. But it ultimately worked out, and I got with Coach Freeze and somebody who believed in me, Coach Austin, who could help me with my fundamentals and only just continue to get better. And I'm glad I got another year with them to just get right. And I have another year just in case. You never know.
Yeah, so and thinking about that, like, for those who haven't had a chance to really see you, man, an electric playmaker, guy who can do it not only with arm but with his legs, very creative inside and outside the pocket. When you look at yourself on tape, what do you believe your best traits are?
I don't believe I really have any, like, in all honesty. I just want to, like, continue to grow in those facets I've seemed to build upon. I just want to grow in those areas. I feel like no area I'm, like, performed in is where it needs to be in order to be the best I can be. I just want to continue to be more consistent and just help my teammates out. Like, when I feel like when I get better, like, they get better, because they try to, like, keep up with me and I try to keep up with them. We always try to one-up each other. So it makes me feel real good when they see something I'm doing good and they try to go out and do something better. And then, you know, it's just we build on each other. I like it.
You know, and thinking about that, talking about building upon your game in the National Football League, there's kind of a changing of the guard at the quarterback position. We're seeing more athletic guys that can do it with their feet, making these spectacular plays outside of the pocket. So I think about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Russell Wilson and others. When you look at the National Football League, who are some of the guys that you model your game after?
In all reality, I kind of look at everybody, regardless if they're a pocket passer, a rushing quarterback, a mixed breed. I mean, I feel like you can learn something from everybody because everybody has something they do well. And if I can take a little piece of everybody's game, then I can do everything well and I can work on making all that better, you know?
Well, you know, and thinking about some of the stuff that you're focusing on, obviously you're focusing on being the best player that you can be for Liberty. But naturally, like, the NFL is a dream that you may be able to realize. So when you think about that journey, what are some of the things that you want to improve upon to put yourself in the best position to maybe realize that dream?
I feel like everything. Like, I don't feel like I do anything exceptional, like, to the best. I want to be able to do whatever I can do to the best. I don't want to do, like, okay, he's a good athlete, all right. Okay, he has a strong arm. Okay, he's decently accurate. No, I want to be, like, exceptionally accurate. I want to be exceptional runner. I want to be exceptional decision maker. I want to make all the right reads. I know you can't be perfect, but to strive for that, I feel like it just makes you a better player.
You know, so when I have an opportunity to turn on the tape this fall, what should we expect to see from Malik Willis?
I don't know. I got a long summer ahead still. I got to, like, worry about it day by day. I'm not going to lie to you.
Day by day. Well, give me one little thing that you want to work on.
Like, when we go out there today, I'm going to work a little bit on just my hips. Get my hips wherever I'm going and making sure I keep all, you know, what do you say, all 12 cleats in the ground.
Put them all in the
no
ground.
No doubt. Because, well, I can't give all the nuance.
You can't give me all the secrets.
No, man.
All right, so this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to bring you back on the podcast after the season, so then you can give me the tips.
Okay.
You can give me the sauce. Thanks so much for joining the Mood of Six podcast, Malik Willis. Best of luck to you this fall.
Thank you.
All right, Buck, enjoyed that. Enjoyed you catching up with him. It's going to be, again, interesting to watch him. Again, Oxford, Mississippi, November 6th. Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Ole Miss, Liberty. Ooh. That's going to be a scouter's delight. So looking forward to that one. All right, let's get to the next one here. And we've not spent a lot of time on this one because we've talked about Sam a good bit on the podcast previously. But Sam Howell from North Carolina, your take.
Look, man, I think your first look series on him hit a nail on the head because the loose comparison to Baker Mayfield, that's there. I mean, I think there's something to that. DJ, and you know, like, when you have an opportunity to see a guy on tape, but then when you see him live, it can really change your perception.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a Tar Heel. I've watched all the games. Sam Howell, where's my number? We had a little debate about who's the best number 7 to ever come from Carolina and why he elected to wear that number. But watching him play with the talent that he had around him is one thing. Watching him throw in a throwing session where you can see him finesse the ball and add pace to it and those things. When you watch him throw, DJ, the first thing that came to my mind is, oh, that's an NFL quarterback. Yeah. Just the way the ball comes out. He throws it like a veteran throws it. He knows when to take touch off of it. And I think the biggest compliment that a wide receiver can give to a quarterback is to say, man, he throws a catchable ball.
Yeah.
And he understands when to rev it up, when to dial it back, based on what kind of throw he needs to make for it to be a completion. He has that. And to me, I think he has a chance to be really, really good at the next level.
Yeah, I think his game translates really well. And to me, one of the better deep ball throwers in terms of accuracy that I've seen over the last few years. So not the biggest guy, not going to wow you with his athleticism. He's a good athlete, but man, he is really accurate, particularly down the field on some of those long, not easy throws. Now, these are difficult throws. He makes look easy. So an interesting player. So here's Bucky catching up with his Tar Heel, Sam Howell.
You go to North Carolina and hit the ground running. Starting right away, Coach Brown, Mac Brown comes back, his second tour duty at North Carolina. And man, you're leading the charge immediately. Why were you so prepared to be a starting quarterback as soon as you stepped on the field?
Yeah, you know, all my life, you know, I just kind of the mindset I have is like every time you get an opportunity, you just take advantage of it. You know, I was competing for the job ever since I stepped on campus, and I knew it was definitely something I wanted to do, and I just put so much time into it, and I And I just really just appreciate my coaches just because they taught me how to prepare from a mental standpoint and from a physical standpoint. And that's something I didn't know going into college. So I just didn't want to have my opportunity and fail, you know. So, you know, it's hard to get that opportunity in college, especially at a school like where I'm at. So I just want to take full advantage of that opportunity and give my team the best chance to win.
I'm not going to lie. I was so excited to see you guys have the level of success that you've had the first 2 years under you with Coach Brown being back. But, man, your offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, has a tremendous reputation for developing quarterbacks and putting together top offenses. What have you learned from him during your time?
Yeah, I would just say the main thing is just the way he's taught me to prepare for games. I just feel like I go out there every Saturday a step ahead of the defense just from a mental standpoint just because of how much time he puts into it. I think that's what's so cool is like if I'm standing in the building at until 1 a.m. on a Monday night, he's going to be in there till 1 a.m. on a Monday night. He grinds harder than anyone on the staff. So he's just so dedicated to what he does, and he truly loves the game, and he's in it for the right reason. So he's taught me so much, not only about football but about life too. So it's a blessing I get to play for him. So I'm definitely glad that me and him will kind of be able to go on this journey together.
Now, it's funny that you're on this journey together. I've been on this podcast journey with Daniel Jeremiah. He recently wrote about you, and he compared you to Baker Mayfield. When you look at your game and you think about the National Football League and some of the quarterbacks that you admire, who are some of the quarterbacks that you pattern your game after?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I don't like look at a quarterback and try to match their game. You know, I think every quarterback is different in so many ways. I think, you know, you see a lot of similar traits. I think I see a lot of similar traits in the way Baker plays. He's an awesome player, so it's a blessing to be able to be attached to a name like that. But, you know, I look at everybody's game. I think everyone does so many things, like, so well, and I think everyone is so different. It's cool to see, you know, everyone has different traits. So I try to watch as much NFL guys as I can, just try to take little things here and there.
You know, Sam, I'm going to have a confession right now. Like, every time I get a chance to go on NFL Network from home, I have some jerseys hanging behind me, and it's number 7. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I've always thought in North Carolina, like, I'm the greatest number 7 that has ever been. But I noticed that, like, you went to North Carolina and you picked number 7. Now, tell our viewers, you picked number 7 because you really wanted to be like me, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. When I went in the equipment room, they asked me what number I wanted to be, and 7 was available, and I said, oh, Bucky Brooks, 100%, I got to do it. So that's why I did it.
No, it's funny. So we can talk about numbers, and I do love my number. I love seeing you rock the number. So as an old Tar Heel, the main thing for me is for you guys to find a way into the ACC championship and eventually get the big ring. And so when you think about the team this year and some of your individual and team goals, what are you guys expecting?
Yeah, you know, we expect to win every single game that we play. That's kind of the mindset that Coach Brown has set into us. As soon as he stepped on campus, he told us he doesn't want this to be like a 3-4 year building process. He wants to win now. And so that's kind of just our mindset is like, we're not like trying to build this thing. We're trying to win right now. It's not fair to our seniors to say we're just trying to build this thing, you know. So we want to win now. I mean, our guys have worked so hard, you know. Everyone knows we lost last year with those 5 great players going to the draft. You know, obviously we're going to miss them, but we have a lot of good young players who've been working really hard. You know, this is the hardest I've seen our team work in an offseason since I've been here, and we have a lot. More guys are stepping up in leadership roles, so I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be a great year for us.
So last thing we think about personally for you, what is the one thing that you've been working on this offseason to really improve?
Yeah, you know, there's so many ways I think I can get better. I think one specific way I can get better from in the pocket, from like a footwork standpoint. I think sometimes I move a little too much. Sometimes I'm unbalanced. Sometimes I don't move enough. So just trying to really study my game from a pocket presence standpoint and trying to get better in that area. You know, there's always ways you can get better from a quarterback. You know, if a quarterback thinks they're perfect, then you probably won't see him playing the game very long. But, yeah, now just trying to find every little thing that's wrong with my game and trying to get better at it.
Well, I know this. I know if you get better, the Tar Heels get better, and it's going to lead to a lot of wins. Thanks so much for joining the Mood 6 podcast.
Yeah, appreciate it, Bucky.
Buck, you can't hide your love for Tar Heels, man. Like, it just comes out in your voice.
I mean, I'm really excited about Sam Howell. I peeped Twitter yesterday. One of my old teammates, Dre Bly, is the secondary coach there, and he posted some things with Sam getting ready for pitcher day and all this other stuff. And you just see him, and he put him 7, and he looks so clean and all of this. But here's what I'm going to say, DJ. When we get to the other side of the calendar, when we start doing the quarterback evals, as much as we give him glowing reviews on what he does on the field as a thrower, his leadership ability and personality is going to make a team fall in love with him because he gets it. And we've talked about it. We've talked about the importance of the position. We've talked about the expectation of the quarterback being kind of the presidential figure within the organization. Sam Howell gets it. When you talk to people around the program about how he kind of handles all of the things, all of the attention and all that, very deferential, does a great job of including his teammates in the process. I think that is going to make him someone that is really well-liked in this process, regardless of what you think about his game or not.
No doubt. And I have a bunch of friends on that staff as well, Buck, and they rave about this dude, just as a leader, as a teammate, all that stuff off the charts. All right, let's move it on here to Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma. Again, we've touched on him a little bit briefly in previous episodes, but you know, my evaluation, I'd start with the comparison. I like to lob a Jeff Garcia comparison out every 3 years just to keep Jeff Garcia alive in the comparison game. But kind of, you know, not a big frame guy, makes plays, can create, do some things off schedule. You know, nothing, you know, there's nothing superlative about Jeff Garcia, but the guy found a way to win a lot of games and put up some good numbers and very scheme specific in terms of how he fits and how he's going to play. That's to me, Spencer Rattler.
I agree with that comparison. I agree with how you view him, because when I think of Spencer Rattler, and this is going to be the thing, size-wise, he's not a plus-size athlete. And so typically, if you're not plus-size, then you must have A-level athleticism, and he doesn't necessarily have that either. What he is a gunslinger with five-star confidence who believes that he can make every play on the field. And there's a double-edged sword to that, because when it's rolling and it's working, he's going to wow you with some of these plays, right? He has wow ability when you watch him play, because there's some throws he makes, some off-platform throws and all that, that you absolutely love. But there's some mistakes and some turnovers that come along with a gunslinger that plays the game like that. I believe he is, I think, in this process early, we kind of give quarterbacks the benefit of the doubt, particularly those that can make these sizzle plays. He has been the biggest beneficiary of that, because there's a lot of conversation about him, A, being the number one guy in the class already and those things. I would say, let's pause that a little bit and let's make sure that he really delivers from a performance and production standpoint to this point, because last year was a little up and down. He had moments. Need to see more consistency from him before I can say, oh, without question, he is undisputed, the number one guy or those things. He has the potential to be that, but I would need to see more consistency in his play this year before I would give him that title.
Yeah, he needs to do better playing in clean environments. He actually does pretty well in the muddy stuff, you know, under pressure, creating, escaping, making some things happen. But just be, you know, I think Trent Dilfer used to always say this, and you're around Trent all the time, is kind of just be good at the boring things, you know, like just make the boring things, be consistent in those areas. And that's an area he needs to improve. So anyways, you had a chance to catch up with Spencer here in Southern California at the Elite 11. Here's that conversation.
So it has to be a lot of pressure on you, because I think about Oklahoma and the quarterbacks that have come through there. Baker Mayfield, number one overall. Kyler Murray, number one overall. Jalen Hurts goes to Philadelphia second round, but is playing like a starter. What's the secret sauce in Oklahoma where quarterbacks are able to have success in the National Football League?
The reason I went there was because Coach Riley, he does such a great job with making it easy for the quarterback play. Just our offensive scheme and everything like that. We have a great O-line, always have great skill positions, running backs, receivers. You just go in and you got to do your job. And I think Coach Riley makes it easy for us. And, you know, you see the tradition with the guys he's pumping out. So hopefully I could live up to be like that and be that next guy.
It has to be a whirlwind, though, because last year was your first year really playing and starting. And you talked about the adversity, the ups and downs. But then you kind of found your rhythm the last part of the year and you really roll. So going into next year, fall 2021, what are some of the personal goals that you have for yourself?
Personal goals, I really don't try to focus on. I feel like last year I tried to focus on personal goals maybe too much, and I found that to catch up with me. And as the season went on, everything was team oriented, and then we won 9 games in a row, a Big 12 championship. You know, the personal goals came with the MVP, the Big 12 game, and then of course a Cotton Bowl win as well. It was big for our program and our team. But this year, I'm just going to take it game by game, treat every game like it's the championship. That's my mindset.
Look, I mean, that's a great mindset to have. Obviously, the individuals that talk about, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, the individual success that they have. You guys expect to be pretty good. Like, once again, you guys expect to be one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the country. What is it like dealing with those expectations at a school that has won national championships in the past?
It's definitely, you know, can put pressure on guys, but I think, you know, a lot of guys on my team, everybody on my team, the coaching staff, they do a great job of focusing on the main thing and keeping the main thing the main thing. So, like I said, going game by game, just prepared as we can and not overlooking an opponent or playing down to a opponent's skill. Just we got to be prepared and come into every game like it's our last.
You know, looking ahead, the National Football League is right there. Obviously, you're a quarterback that grew up maybe with NFL aspirations. Who are some of the NFL quarterbacks right now that you look up to that maybe you take bits and pieces of their game and try and put in yours?
Oh, yeah, definitely Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. I say those three guys, my quarterback coach and I, Mike Giovando out of Arizona, have, you know, tried to do some of those movements and practice them. So now we're their second nature. Now they're second nature to me on the field. And I feel like naturally I've had those, you know, that Mahomes type of play, that Aaron Rodgers type of, you know, off platform throws and, you know, being able to throw the ball and put it where I want to. So, but we got a lot of work to do and I'm excited to get to it and show it on the field this year.
It's funny because you talked about that. Everybody that you mentioned is a guy that has some pizzazz to the game. Mm-hmm. And last year in the draft, we saw Zach Wilson and we saw the noise of the buzz that kind of came up around his game. When I look at his game and I look at your game, I see some similarities. What do you believe is the best thing that you do on the field?
I feel like I could put the ball wherever I want to at any time, any arm angle, any off platform throw, I could put it there. That's, you know, the key. And when I get outside the pocket as well, I feel like I can make things happen. But I think my greatest trait to me is I make guys around me better. So being a quarterback, you have to have that trait. And it's something I strive to work on every day at practice with my receivers, with my O-line running backs. And again, Coach Riley puts me in a great position to do that. So,
well, look, we're going to let you continue to focus on football. We look forward to watching you joining the program, Sister Riley.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Buck, I think we've got a nice feel here for those three quarterbacks after you got a chance to visit with them. Anything in terms of watching those guys on the grass, biggest takeaway maybe from just these three quarterbacks?
I would say of the three, Sam Howell is the most polished when it comes to just being a pure passer in the pocket. The way the game has been played for the last 35, 40 years, Sam Howell, to me, would be at the top of the list. If you want a little extra, a little sizzle, a little pizzazz, then that would be Spencer Rattler. If you're looking to do more of the new age stuff or you have a creative offensive mind that needs to jumpstart the offense, Malik Willis would be in that conversation. It's one of those unique situations where it's really like going to the ice cream shop and trying to determine what flavor you like as your quarterback, but very, very talented prospects in their own right.
Well, that's great. Again, thanks for doing that, Buck, in the middle of working that event, of grabbing that audio and those interviews for us was awesome. So hope you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as I did. Let's keep it going here because this is a really interesting guy to me in the football landscape. We've talked about guys making the jump from the college level to the NFL level. If you think about the last couple guys, think about Matt Rhule and all the conversations we've had with him on here and our belief that he is going to be successful. And I think he does have the Carolina Panthers on the right path. Think about the numerous conversations we had with Urban Meyer as he was kind of debating whether or not to jump into this thing. And sure enough, here he is with your Jags, anxious to see how that all works out. This is the next one. I think along with Matt Campbell, I think Luke Fickell is somebody that's viewed as a rising star that's going to eventually make his way to the National Football League.
You know, I think he absolutely is going to make his way to the National Football League. I love what he's about. I love who he's been impacted by. And I think those centers of influence definitely come out in his coaching style. This is a great conversation.
All right. Well, here you go. This is Bucky catching up with the University of Cincinnati head football coach, Luke Fickell.
Coach, and thinking about getting it going, we are right in the middle of the summer. We're about on the eve of training camps. What are you guys doing right now? How are you guys getting ready for the season?
So we're kind of in a 2-week phase here where we're kind of starting to use as much of the time we're allowed to do a lot more football, whether they're, you know, meetings and then coaches working with guys, you know, skill fundamental wise on the field, the things we're allowed to do. So for this 2 weeks, our coaches come back in from a little bit of a break and really spend a lot of time with our guys, you know, kind of put the weight room stuff on the back burner as opposed to really challenge them football wise, trying to get them in a ready for when they go to camp that they're not, you know, They haven't thought about football and just been training. So phase two of what we like to call it is well on its way.
You know, Coach, coming off a pandemic year where everything was different, what are some of the things that you have learned from dealing with your team a year ago that may make you be a better coach or help you connect with the team in a better way than you had previously?
Well, and I think that was kind of always been our thing. I think, you know, the pandemic in some ways helped us. And I don't mean it helped us because, you know, we liked it of any sorts, but I think what it allowed us to do was kind of hone in on the things that we always have said was important about, you know, relationships and being together and struggling through things together. And what it did was it took a lot of the outside things out, meaning, you know, the things you're excited about, crowds and you know, the normal social life that you have on campus. And, you know, if all of a sudden you hear a lot of people say, well, we didn't have the ability to kind of relax and get away and mentally it was really difficult on us. That's, you know, we want to spend time with our guys. So I think we had kind of trained ourselves to want to be around each other, especially during football season, during the camp and the stuff that builds up to a football season. So I think we actually, I hope, but I think we actually enjoy being around each other as a team. And those are the only things you could be around this past year. So for us, I think we were able to kind of thrive in the midst of, you know, all the, you know, chaos and things that were going on with COVID because, you know, how we try to build ourselves about, you know, being a family and wanting to be around each other. And it is relaxing to be around each other outside of football and during football.
You know, it's something because you guys have played phenomenal football since you've been there. You guys have really been on the climb. It culminated this year. You guys had an opportunity to play Georgia in the bowl game. And, you know, I know there was some conversation about the playoff and those things. Being a group of five team, do you spend a lot of time thinking about that other stuff in terms of like the quote unquote big boys or the Power Five conferences? Or are you really committed to building the best program that I can build regardless of whether we're a group of five, Power Five, and whoever we face?
Well, those are words we're not allowed to say within the program. So we don't want to distinguish anything that's any different. You play a game on the field, the field's the same length, the same width. You still got 11 guys on there at a time. What's the difference? Whether, you know, that guy's a five-star or you're a three-star, it doesn't matter when everybody walks in the door. So for twofold, for we don't want our kids to think there's anything different, and we don't want our coaches, in my eyes, we don't want our coaches to have any excuse or think anything different. Well, they're the big boys, or they're this, or they're from the SEC. So what? So what? They have the same, they're allowed the same hours, they're allowed the same time, they're allowed the same number of kids. You know, what's the difference? The difference is the relationship that you got with them, the way you can motivate them, the way you can develop them over time. And to be able to do that, we know there's the limitations. Like I try and tell kids, limitations come in much more of maybe the aesthetics of some of the things that you got within your facility. Or I tell the kids it's the amount of money that the coaches might be making that in some of the other conferences, but your scholarship check's going to be the same as their scholarship check. Your opportunities are the same as their opportunities. We just got to use them. We got to maximize them. We got to do more with maybe, you know, similar resources, you know, with less maybe for the coaches. So if the coaches have something to complain about, that's great. Players, we should have nothing to complain about. There's nothing any different. So like, you know, it's a mentality. And I think more than anything, what we try to do is create a mentality and a mindset to there is no excuse whether you're playing Georgia or you're playing, you know, Murray State, who we play this year. What's the difference? You know, and deep down inside, they all have the same amount of opportunities and they all have the same amount of time. There might be some things that their coaches get a little bit different. But other than that, we got the same opportunity they got.
You know, Coach, in hearing you talk about it, you talked about mentality. And to me, I know you're very impacted by those that you've worked with and coaches, Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel, two of the finest coaches that ever really coached a game. What have you been able to take from each as you move forward in building your own program and creating your own identity and legacy at Cincinnati?
Well, I've been very fortunate, you know, truly to really work for, you know, four guys, but three Hall of Fame coaches. John Cooper is the other one. So
Oh, yeah.
I played for John Cooper, and then I was a GA for John Cooper, who's a Hall of Fame college football coach. And then obviously 10 years with Coach Tressel, who will be a Hall of Fame football coach. Coach Meyer for 5 years, who is or will be a Hall of Fame football coach as well. And I've had the great fortunes to be with three different Hall of Fame coaches and recognize that they all do things different. They all have the same goal. They all have the same objective. Deep down inside, they believe in young men and growing men, but they do it in different leadership ways. So we could go on and on and on about who is what and how that is. But I think the greatest thing is I had the chance to see is, boy, you can do them in many different ways and get very similar results. All three are incredibly successful. All three will be in the Hall of Fame, but all three are incredibly different as leaders. And the biggest thing I got out of that was, no matter what, if you want to be successful, you got to be who you are. You know, you got to know what it is you believe in, know the way you want to go about things, because if you can't be consistent, you can't motivate young men. And you can't motivate older guys too. You know, it's not just about the 18 to 22 year olds. You know, it's, if you're going to do this thing over time and grow, you're going to have to be able to motivate the people that work within your program as well. And sometimes that's more difficult with a 45, 50, 60 year old than an 18 to 22 year old. You can raise your voice in 18 to 22 year old. If they got enough in them, they're going to be ready to go. 50 year olds, you know, 45 year olds had a lot of experiences. You got to go about it a little different way. So I think that more than anything, I've learned that there's not one way of doing it, but if you're going to be successful, you got to do it your way and be consistent.
You know, it's funny because I think one of your best friends, Mike Vrabel, former teammate and those things, he has emerged as a great leader in the National Football League as a head coach. Look, because you guys are so close or whatever, did you expect him to kind of have the kind of success that he's been able to have as a leader as he moved on and really took a great job in Tennessee?
You know, it's kind of crazy that you asked that, because I did talk about this with a couple buddies of mine not too long ago, actually just this past week. And you don't have a crystal ball. I'm not saying I knew anything, but in the first – he went down to Houston when he left us when he first started coaching. He went down to Houston and obviously went into the NFL. I think his first mini camp, I think I ended up going down, or maybe the second mini camp of his first year coaching, I went down to Houston and observed for 2 days. And as I was leaving Houston, I just said to him, I said, hey, I want you to know, I believe you're in the right place. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, you're in the right place. I'm not saying college wasn't the right place, but you're in the right place, meaning I watched for 2 days how guys interact with you, how the things that you can do and say that even others couldn't. And you're only the linebacker coach. You know, you could do and say some things and how people reacted from what I watched different than even the head coach could. And whether that's 3 Super Bowl rings, whether that's 14 years, that's just a confidence about yourself. I don't know, but I believe that you're in a really good place. And if you want to, I could see you being a head coach within 4 or 5 years.
Man, it's an amazing run. Success that he's had, that you've had, you guys being teammates. But I got to ask you this, because I'm digging in the backgrounds, and I love multi-sport players and athletes. Have been a scout for a long time. I'm always looking in bios to see about kids. And so I stumble upon your background, and I see that you were like this dominant high school wrestler that just repeatedly whooped people and put them down, maybe 50-0. Am I making that up, a 50-0 run that you might have had as a state championship wrestler? Is that true?
Who's counting? I don't know.
Oh, who's counting? Okay. No one knows.
I got beat my freshman year. Let's just say that. And then I wised up and then didn't have to worry about that after that.
Okay. So in thinking about that, Coach, when you're recruiting, how big is it for you to recruit players that have played multiple sports? And what do you gain from watching them participate in other sports?
I think if I could have all multiple sport guys, I would. I think – twofold. I think you're always competing. You know, I think you're showing some different things that you're about, have the ability to do. I love watching them play because you can tell a lot about them, you know, as far as what's really inside, and whether they're playing basketball, whether they're wrestling, whether even they're running track, it doesn't matter. It's competitors show who they really are, you know, during competitions, in competitions when they're not doing well and when they're doing really well. So I love that. I think that your ability that when you come to the next level and all of a sudden you've been a 2 or 3 sport athlete, your upside as you start to focus in on one sport is incredibly different. Not to take away from that guy that only played football and trained, you know, year round lifting and things like that. They might be at 85, 90% of their maximum capacity, where some of the guys walking in the door that have been, you know, well, I played football, I played basketball, and I played baseball. I was a wrestler and I ran track, you know, it's like, okay, when this guy's at about 50, 60% of his maximum, he starts to hone in on those things. It's amazing what he's going to do and look like in 2 years. So I think there's a lot of upside when you're looking at multiple sport athletes. And then if you take a guy that wrestled, I think it knocks him off the chart, because to me, there's no greater measure of a man than when he goes out there one-on-one. And not the guy that wins, the guy that continues to go back out there when he's got nobody else around him. He knows all eyes are on him. It even means a little bit more to me, a guy that's not a great wrestler, but continues to do it, as opposed to ones that, you know, enjoy it because they are winning. It just does something different. I mean, the heart and your ability to kind of grind through the things that we think are really important to grow in our program. I think it transitions really well. I know it does in our program, and maybe that's a little bit more in my mental side of things.
No, I like it. One guy who has a tremendous amount of upside that we have to touch on before I let you go, Desmond Ridder, your quarterback. Talk a little bit about him, your expectations. What do you like about him?
Desmond, I mean, an unbelievable person. I think more than anything, I could tell you that as a leader, he is a humble person. He puts others in front of himself. His ability to, you know, kind of draw the locker room, not because he's a great player, but draw the locker room because he's got the right heart, he's got the right mind, is so key. I mean, a guy that, you know, from year one had to fight his way, you know, for everything he's got. He wasn't a highly recruited guy. He redshirted. He got beat up on the scout team, which all of a sudden makes guys start to respect you. And then in year one, you know, when we really weren't that good, but we somehow found ways to win and, you know, manufactured everything to year two, where there was this incredible expectation and you might not have nearly met the expectation for himself or what people expected of him. That can be crushing. Well, he did nothing but make himself better. And so his ability to fight through the adversity, I love, but I think more than anything, it's made the guys in that locker room have an unbelievable respect. Not because he's a great player, but the way he goes about his business, the way he cares about them, and the way he's fought through the ups and the downs, nothing's been handed to him.
You know, Coach, well, I love that. I love watching your team play. I love what you guys have done in Cincinnati, the toughness, the physicality, the way you guys go after it. I wish you and your team nothing but the best this season. Look forward to watching your squad grow and develop, and we look forward to talking to you down the line. Thanks so much for joining the Move to Six podcast.
Well, Buck, I mean, you're not going to have a better foundation to be a successful coach than what Luke Fickell has. And all that time, those 20 years he spent, you know, as a player and coach in the Ohio State program, and then taking those lessons learned and then applying them there at the University of Cincinnati, it's not a surprise to see the success that he's had.
No, not a surprise, DJ, and he alluded to it. When you're coached by John Cooper, you work alongside Jim Trussell and Urban Meyer. Man, you talk about notebooks being full of lessons in winning and building elite programs. Well, he has all of that. The fact that he's been able to take what he's learned from those guys, kind of put it and shape it in his own way, and then implement it in Cincinnati speaks volumes about what I would say is maturity as a coach. The success that they've had, the way that they've been able to go toe-to-toe with the big boys. I know he hates when I talk about that, but the way they've been able to go toe-to-toe with some of the bigger brand name programs, they're not even close, but look, they're a good program, and I can understand why there's so much interest in trying to plug Luke Fickell from Cincinnati, because he does a lot of things the right way when it comes to building a team.
Hey, no doubt. Notre Dame, Cincinnati this year, that's going to be a big one. That's going to be a fun game to watch, and Cincinnati has a legit shot to try and crash the party here, get into the college football playoff. That would be a nice win on their resume if they could pull that one off.
I mean, that'd be a big win. That'd be a big win for them if they could do it. It'd be a program mover, because they've been close to this point before. I mean, where they've been in the conversation. I want to say Brian Kelly had them in this conversation as a team that was kind of on the verge of making the next move. Man, a big win like that against the University of Notre Dame, the ultimate brand name college football program in the country. Yeah, that moves him up a rung on the ladder.
Did you see the quote from Matt Campbell yesterday, by the way?
I did not see the quote.
All right. So he was asked, and I think it's pertinent because we're talking about Luke Fickell, and Luke Fickell had opportunities to get, you know, quote unquote, bigger jobs, more notoriety. And maybe that's with the college level, the NFL level. But Matt Campbell's been in that same boat. So they asked him at Big 12 Media Day why he hasn't left Iowa State for a bigger job. And here's Matt Campbell's response. I didn't get into this profession to be somebody. I got in this profession to do something. That's pretty interesting. I never heard that one before.
I love that. And what I love about that is if you dig down deep, you understand he played at Mountain Union, Mountain Union Division III. I think they're just whooping people for years and years on end. I want to think he won three titles while he was there. Yeah. He went back and coached, and they continued to win. And you just go and look at the success that he had at Toledo before he got to Iowa State. It's program building. He had them on the verge. I mean, this is a team that played in the title game in the Big 12. And so you wouldn't think that Iowa State would have the talent nor the depth to be able to compete at a high level there. But here they are being in the conversation as a top 15 program. And so I think sometimes we kind of think like bigger is always better, more shine, more eyeballs, more exposure is really what coaches want. Maybe he wants to be a legend. Maybe he wants to go down as, man, the best one to ever come through there and build something that is sustainable for a long time at a place where people said you never can win it and win for a long time in Ames.
The best way I try to sum that up, and I think, again, this is Luke Fickell as well. Are you looking for attention or are you looking for accomplishments? These guys are starting to rack up some accomplishments. Now, they might not get the most attention as somebody mm-hmm. would get if they were doing the same thing at Texas or USC or, you know, Notre Dame or whatever. But, man, these guys are starting to pile up some accomplishments as they go along here.
Yeah, now they're beginning to pile them up, and you have to like what you see from these guys. I mean, we can talk about Matt Campbell. We've seen what Matt Rule has done. We've seen what Luke Fickell has done. Yeah, there is something to it. And I think we always talk about scouting. You kind of like to see guys overcome some challenges so you feel good about who they are. Because if you can see them handle themselves with class and grace and dignity and find a way to work through some of the adversity, you're really confident they can find it at the next level. And when I look at Matt Campbell, when I look at Luke Fickell, when I think about what Matt Rule had to endure at Temple and Baylor respectfully before he got his chance at Carolina, I think when those guys go through those hard rebuilds, when we look at them at the next level, they should be well equipped to handle whatever challenges are thrown their way.
No doubt. Well, man, this has been a fun episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Getting a chance to learn a little bit about these upcoming quarterback class. Should be a fun year of college football, as well as catching up with the coach of one of the really really up-and-coming promising programs there in the Cincinnati Bearcats with Luke Fickell. So anything else you want to add here, Buck, before we get out of here?
No, it's great, man. I want to thank David Singer and the crew behind the glass for everything that they do. David Singer for bringing us the ability to have great guests on like Luke Fickell, coordinate all the stuff that we have with the guys at Elite 11. And then the crew just making sure that, man, we are always able to kind of put forth the best product, the best show that we can.
No doubt. Again, appreciate everybody that's worked on the show here. There have been some changes, some moving parts here, and everybody's really busting their butt to get us going here. So appreciate everybody's hard work and efforts. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.